are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I've had the pleasure of talking a few minutes before we started this interview with the remarkable Robert J. Wagner, who has written his another book. He's written some wonderful books about his memories of Hollywood, the golden era of movies. His newest book is I Loved Her in the Movies, Memories of Hollywood's Legendary Actresses. Robert J. Wagner was in the middle of telling me that Chicago is one of his favorite cities. Tell us, why do you love Chicago so much, sir?
Well, I was born in Detroit.
Okay.
And my family used to go down to Chicago all the time, so I was down there when I was a little boy, and then I came back there when I was under contract to Fox. Their exchange was there, and that's where all the movies went all over the United States from Chicago. And so, you know, I was able to be there then, and then I played in the theater there with Jill, and and whenever we get a chance, we go to Chicago. Love it. Just love it.
Well, then I would have to request politely that next time you are in Chicago, you reach out to us. We would love to have you in studio.
Oh, I'd come in and see you. Head on, Patty.
I love that. And I didn't realize that you were born in Michigan. When did your family move to Los Angeles, to California?
Oh, they moved out there when I was about 10 years old.
Okay.
And I moved out there before then, but we'd go back to Michigan quite often every summer, my sister and I. We'd all go back to Michigan, and I was back there this summer. My son-in-law, Barry Watson. Do you know who he is? Young actor.
I'm not familiar. I'm sure if I looked him up, I would know right away.
He was on Seventh Heaven for years.
Oh, okay.
But he's married to my daughter Natasha, and he was born up in Traverse City, up in Michigan, and I spent a lot of my youth up there in the peninsula, and so I went up there, and he had leased a cabin, and we all spent about a week together, which was really wonderful to be up on the lakes there. Just fabulous.
Oh, that sounds magical. Oh, I'm looking him up right now. He was born in Traverse City. Oh, I love that area of Michigan, too. It's beautiful.
Yeah, really great up there.
It is. It's like another planet. It just, it's so lush.
It was wonderful. It brought back such memories to me. I walked into this cabin, and the smells and the lake and the reflections in the woods. I mean, it just brought back such memories. Have you ever had that experience to go back to someplace when you're young?
Well, you know what's funny is that I live about 2 miles north, or no, 2 miles south of where I grew up. So as far as my neighborhood goes, I mean, like, I still kind of drive through and get the chills just thinking of that alley that I played, you know, ball against the wall, or, you know, the parks where I played. But I think you're right, though. There's something about going someplace that's even grander than that. For me, it would be places in Wisconsin where I spent summers, like a Girl Scout camp. So yes, I think that there's something to that. But I also think, and it sounds as though you're the kind of person that really, almost you take mental pictures of experiences, because, you know, people have those moments, but the kinds of stories that you're even sharing now or in your books are more, I don't know, they're more detailed and specific. Do you sense that you kind of take everything in and realize
that this
is important?
I think so. I think I do, Patty. I think that's a facility that I have. The way I start the book, you know, it's interesting you say that, because, you know, I start the book with Norma Shearer, and I went to school with her son when I was 7 years old, and I didn't know that she was this gigantic movie star and the number one star and playing Marie Antoinette and all of that kind of thing. And I went to their house on a weekend because I was boarding at school, and we went up to see Norma, and I was introduced to her. And she was so wonderful and so nice to me, and she gave me a picture of herself signed to me, and I kept that picture. It's in the book, but I kept that picture in my heart and in my soul and in my treasure chest, you know, so it was an impression. I can remember it like it's almost yesterday. That's interesting that you brought that up. I do have that facility, yeah.
Well, because you open your book talking about, actually, part of that, your story that you just mentioned about Norma Shearer is that, you know, you, first of all, you had a picture of her. I remember my first crush, which was Michael J. Fox. It's the only fan letter I have ever written in my entire life was to Michael J. Fox. But you're, you know, when you talk about not being able to fit the picture of Norma Shearer in your treasure chest because it is too big, but even like remembering, you know, meeting her, and obviously that had to be such a monumental, you know, sort of encounter. Not just those details, but also your sense of what it was like for the women that you worked with. The idea that not only do women have it harder, but that actresses have it harder, and this idea that we're also stronger. Talk a little bit about your take, because you worked with some of the most and had friendships and relationships with the most remarkable women in movie history. I mean,
isn't that amazing? I mean, it's such a I was so blessed.
Yeah, yes.
To meet these women, but you know, when being an actor, you know, you put your life out there. You know, if you're doing a scene that's got some depth to it, and some, you're trying to make it look like it's real and the first time, and you open yourself up so much. And I saw that so much with these ladies, and I mean, they just were remarkable. They were just remarkable, and that's what this book is about. It's a tribute to them, because they gave up so much to give us what they give us so much, and what they gave us was so great. And here I am, you know, this young guy starting off with a business, and I'm suddenly working with Claudette Colbert and Barbara Stanwyck, and you know, these people that I'd seen on the screen for so long, and it was just so impressionable and so such a gift. It was such a gift given to me, and I worked with some of the most wonderful women, and you know, I just as you said, you know, Scott and I have written a couple of Edquitton II books before this, and when we started talking about this, he said to me, you know, that's very interesting that you had the opportunity to be involved with these ladies and what they meant to you, and because I'd done my biography with them, Pieces of My Heart, and I'd opened up a lot. You know, I opened up a lot to him of my life and my back life and my feelings about people and all of that that you go through with writing a book. And he said, it's just remarkable that you had these women in your life, and they made such a great impression upon me, and they were with me for so long. Claire Trevor was just such a wonderful woman to me. I mean, she was so great to me and left me something in her will with a note saying, consider this a hug and a kiss. And you know, they were relationships that were deeply felt. Do you understand, Patty?
I do indeed, because one, you pour so much of that into your book. Again, we're talking to Robert J. Wagner, who has written I Loved Her in the Movies, and these are, I mean, the fact that you've written not just this remarkable book and sort of this homage to all the wonderful women who've graced the silver screen, also, as he mentioned, Pieces of My Heart and You Must Remember This are two of the books. I almost wish I had read those first, because it sounds as though you build this crescendo of really. I mean, we all worship in whatever way, and whether or not we should, we worship those images on the screen. And it was different when you were growing up and when you got into the studio system. I know a lot of people might not be familiar with what that means and how your careers were different than modern actors and actresses, the way they carry out their careers. Tell us a little bit about how the studio system had a different effect on your careers.
Well, the studio system was very protective, and as a family, and you felt like you were part of it. And when I went to Fox, I was just a kid, 18 years old, and this dramatic coach took a liking to me and felt that I had some kind of possibility. I was very green. I didn't know anything about acting. They took me in off the street, and I became a part of 20th Century Fox, and I was there for almost 12 years. And I had been scholarshiped to a couple of colleges, but I tell you, I made the right move by being signed at Fox, because that's the greatest education I could have ever had in my life. You know, they sent me all around the world, and they cared about me. You know, the people took time with me, and they watched out for me, and they protected me. And you know, that's
sure.
That doesn't happen anymore. That's not there anymore.
Well,
it's you know, it's more corporative and more business and more, you know, they didn't roll the dice. They don't roll a dice like they did then.
Well, you know, it's not, but it wasn't that easy to come by one of those contracts either. They might have signed, you know, 20 or 30 young men and women, but, you know, there, something had to have caught their attention. I know, I just read that you had your first screen test with a director who perhaps, how did your first screen test go for your first attempt, your first swing at getting into the...
Well, I guess it went all right. You know, Zanuck ran it.
Yeah.
And he kind of liked it, and, this dramatic coach, Helena Sorrell, who was such a wonderful woman, said, "Would you mind watching it again?" And she said, "Look at that. Do you see that when he does that? Did he see that? Did you do that?" And he said, "I can see, Helena, that you like him very much. We'll put him under contract." So they put me under contract for $75 a week, and I was in the movies. I couldn't have been more excited than anybody you can imagine. I mean, I was... I was thrilled.
Oh, sure. And you, so we talked a little bit about how you met Norma Shearer when you were very young. By the way, the fact that you went to the Hollywood Military Academy, is that still something that you still wonder, like, how did I end up there? What was the decision process behind that with your parents?
I don't know. I guess it was the school to go to, and my family were moving out of Michigan and going to the West Coast.
Okay.
And they sent me out there, and I boarded there at the school when I was 7 years old.
Man, that had to be sort of a shock, I would think, coming out of Michigan and then the strictness of a military school as opposed to what you might have experienced before. Was it shocking?
It wasn't such a great time in my life. You know, I was
okay.
Not with my folks and not with my sister, and I was in this boarding school and I didn't know what was going on, but you know. It all worked out.
Well, and I think it all is part of that bigger picture. I know I listened to an interview that you really are thankful every single day of the life that you've had. And believe me, I mean, not only are people jealous, I'm sure, not of, you know, the women you talk about in this movie. I, for one, having grown up and absolutely adored the great Fred Astaire, I nearly drove my car off the road when I heard you talking about hanging out with him, being there when he started building his house. And I know that we're talking about the amazing women on the screen, but can you just tell me a little bit about Fred Astaire? What was he like?
I can tell you, he was the most wonderful guy, and his son went to that school too. And I remember Fred Astaire, Patty, picking me up and putting me in his car. I didn't know he was Fred Astaire.
Oh.
I didn't know who Fred Astaire was. I didn't know that he was a big musical star and this great dancer and actor and pardon me, marvelous singer.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea, but he was so warm, so loving, so caring for me. It was just great. And can you imagine? I wound up being in television series with him. He and I were together in It Takes a Thief. I mean,
yeah.
I've just been so blessed by all of these relationships that were so meaningful to me. These women meant so much to me. They were so great. I mean, Betty Davis was just such a wonderful friend and a dear, great, wonderful woman. By the way, there's a wonderful book coming out on her called Miss D and Me.
Okay.
And it's written by Catherine Cermak, who was with her up until she left us.
Okay.
And it's a very wonderful book. Really captures Betty in the true way.
Well, yeah, there's that FX series. Have you watched any of that about Betty Davis and Joan Crawford?
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah. I watched the first episode and I was like, I don't need this. I don't know. I just wasn't drawn in. But I know a lot of people loved it. But
you know, Patty, they took such liberties, you
right,
know, to
of
make
course.
It work. And a lot of it's just, you know, fantasy. They weren't there.
Well,
know?
The thing is, in the beginning of your book, in the introduction, the other thing you talk about is that this book is not about backstabbing or dishing or, you know, telling salacious stories. This really is an honor to the women who were in your life.
Yeah, and they deserve to be honored because they gave up so much to give us all so much. And they were very, very particular and wonderful, loving, caring women. And Fabulous, fabulous. I was just so honored to be able to write a book about him.
What were your thoughts? And of course, you wrote this book prior to all the horrible stories coming out. And you had to have seen what women went through. You acknowledge it as far as, you know, what that women are realistic. They're self-aware. They're also, they have, you know, we kind of take things and we're self-protective. And the horrible stories,
Patty,
yes.
Patty, this has been going on for years.
Right.
You know, not for generations, in every society.
In
Come
every,
on. You know,
and,
this,
yes.
This has been going on forever, in business, in medicine, in everything, in every walk of life. But the thing that's so wonderful about this moment is these women stepping forward, which takes a great deal of courage, and telling their stories. And I think it's going to make a tremendous amount of difference, and I hope so, because it's a terrible act, you know?
It is. It is. And I...
It's the worst.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, though, is that having, you know, it seems to me as though, you know, the relationships that you were able to enter in with a lot of these women, whether it was professional or personal, and again, remarkable stories that you have, and both professional and romantic. It just seems as though you want better for women, and this is part of why you've written this book. You want us to remember them too. I mean, I don't think many people know who Jean Arthur is, and they, you know, maybe they've seen Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and they kind of remember the kooky reporter running around, but she was absolutely one of the most talented actresses on the screen.
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more. She just, I never knew her. I only saw her, but I just always thought she was just so remarkable, such a tremendous personality, and you know, to hang on to that. And in that time, I mean, that was a man's world. You know, to be able to be an individualistic person like that. I mean, Jesus, she really put it out there.
Well, and I do. I love that you weave stories about her and your take on her and other actresses maybe that you never worked with, like Jean Harlow, who died so young.
She left us so very young, so talented. Amazing where she could have possibly gone to. You know that, you know, my friend, Scott Iman, who is, we co-authored these books, you know, he's a tremendous historian, film historian. So we were able to, he was able to go back into their lives and their careers, and me put a personal touch on top of that, and my involvement with them, with these women. And we both felt the same way. I mean, because, you know, there can't be a leading man without a leading woman.
Correct.
And these women, you know, I mean, they were extraordinary. Joan Blondell, you know, I mean, imagine the career that she had.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, because
I knew her. I knew her, and I worked with her. She was fantastic.
Well, and because she's in some of my Jimmy Cagney was another one of my favorites. And
well, they started off together,
yes.
As you well know. You know the whole story.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Exactly. Was it Penny Arcade and Sinner's Holiday? Right.
Penny Arcade. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
But you know, they did that. They did that on Broadway. They knew the lines. They knew the parts. You know. They,
sure.
They knew it all. But, you know, I mean, working with Barbara Stanwyck and knowing her the way that I did, I mean, that was just a gift. That was a gift from God, you know? I mean, it was just, I was just touched by, I just have been so lucky, you know, so fortunate to have been able to meet and work with these women and be a part of their lives. And Claire Trevor was such a great friend of mine, and Betty Davis was a great friend. I was there all to the end of her life, and she was. And I produced a picture with her, and we worked together. She was just such a wonderful, giving, cheerful, funny. She had every emotion you can imagine, you know. And when you feel those, have the privilege of feeling those, I mean, that's That's a gift. That's a gift, Patty. Believe
well,
me.
And her range, I mean, everything that she did. I've always loved the story of the movie that she, because she had wanted, Bette Davis had wanted to play Scarlett O'Hara. I think that's a pretty famous story.
Yes, uh-huh.
And
right.
And now I am completely blanking on the black and white movie, that she, the Civil War movie that she made, that Jezebel. Oh, I got it.
Jezebel with Hank Fonda.
It took me a second. Yes, Jezebel, because there's an amazing scene in that movie where she's going to enter. Isn't she wearing a red dress? And even though it's in black and white, it still comes across in everything that she did, because she can convey every emotion. She was absolutely otherworldly.
She was great in that movie. She was really wonderful.
Yeah,
she was. There's a book that's coming out probably maybe tomorrow. Or first of next week, called Hank and Jim.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that, and Scott Iman, my co-author that we wrote together, he wrote it, and it's the story of Henry Fonda and Jimmy Stewart and their 50-year relationship. You will love it.
Oh, absolutely!
It's really a wonderful book, and the two of them are really, he really captured them. He got them, believe me.
Well, and they are our actors. I think and maybe I'm just sort of seeing what I want to see when I watch interviews with Henry Fonda or Jimmy Stewart. And Jimmy Stewart, in particular, I would say, in similar ways to you, have this glee about this lucky life that I think people just dream about having. Would you say that that's accurate?
That's a very nice. I'm very pleased to be associated with Jimmy. That's great.
Well, because he always kept his sense of humor. I mean, even going on Johnny Carson, and you know, he would have those poems that he would share.
Oh, wasn't he great at that when he played the piano?
Yes.
Oh, that's a horse, a pretty good horse.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a wonderful man. They were both great. I knew them both. And Scott really, really did a wonderful job on this book. I think you would enjoy it. I would encourage you to get it.
I have to say, we're talking to Robert J. Wagner, and I'm adding the J because it's on the cover. So, I mean, I think people know you as Robert Wagner, but I have to, you know, give them my respect in that you have your title here, Robert J. Wagner. Can we ask what J stands for, by the way?
J stands for John.
John. Robert John Wagner. Now I sound like I'm being too formal.
That is too formal, yeah.
I think that
usually people call me RJ, so please call me RJ.
Oh, well, that's almost too intense for me. RJ, yeah, I'm going to have to call you sir, if you don't mind for now. Okay, fine, I'll try RJ. I think you're the first author that I've spoken to who's giving me a reading list. So far, we have Misty and Me and Hank and Jim, which is coming out soon. And I have to ask, how much time do you spend with Scott Iman, who has written these last three books with you?
Well, we spent quite a bit of time together, and the thing that's been the most positive of all of this collaboration is that we've become very close friends out of it. And I admire him so much. He just is one of the best authors I've ever read. I mean, I just love his stuff. I mean, he did the definitive book, by the way, on John Wayne. Did you get that one?
I have not gotten that one. That one, you know, I might cry the whole time reading that, just because my dad was such a huge John Wayne fan. I grew up on all those movies, you know.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. Stagecoach, yeah. Everything from Stagecoach to what's the Quiet Man, of course.
Yeah.
The Shootist, his last.
Scott also did the book on John Ford. So your dad has probably read these books.
My father passed away, but I will read them, and because my dad was a kind of guy, and maybe this was like this for you growing up. If John Wayne didn't do it, my dad didn't do it. But if John Wayne did, like, my dad would smoke non-filtered Camels because John Wayne did. My dad wouldn't use a straw. He goes, "You never saw John Wayne using a straw."
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think you'd really enjoy the book a lot, and Scott did a terrific job on that. He really did, and I think we're going to try to do another book. I don't know what it's going to be yet. We've got a couple of ideas, but I enjoyed working with him so much, and it's opened up a whole new career for me in a sense. You know, this writing books, and I just when I met him, we just kind of got along, you know. And it takes us a while to write these books, but they've been responded to in a very positive way, and that's a good feeling, you know, Patty. That's a nice feeling to have. And I always wanted to do this book on these women, and because they were so special and so special in my life, and I just wanted to share that.
And you have done a wonderful tribute to them. Everyone should pick up I Loved Her in the Movies, Memories of Hollywood's Legendary Actresses. And you can also pick up his other books, You Must Remember This, and I'm sorry, what is the third one? I had it in front of me a moment ago, and I hate to get it wrong. The third one is
Pieces of My Heart.
Oh, Pieces of My Heart. And here's the thing. I'm so glad that you found someone that you can work on and collaborate with these. But it really comes down to having your perspective and such a great story to tell, and being so passionate about all of it is really what comes off the page.
Thank you, Patty. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Very much.
Well, I thank you again. And please, if you're ever in Chicago, you must come visit us in studio. I'll be very hurt if I find out you've been in town.
I thank you very much for having me on the show. And I wish you a very happy, happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays. And if I come into Chicago, I'd love to come in the studio and see you head on.
I appreciate that. Well, definitely. I'm counting the days. Next time, if I ever see any promotion for it, I'm gonna make sure I'll show up wherever you are. Then it sounds a little stalkery. Never mind. Well, I'll wait to hear from you.
Okay, Patty. Take care of yourself now.
You too. Thank you, RJ. Again, Robert J. Wagner joining us, and really a privilege. One of my favorite interviews already. Thank you, sir. Have a great day. Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. More after this on 720 WGA.